Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 3rd, 2026, and I have to be honest, I've spent the last few hours just staring at the stack of reports for today, and I have this distinct feeling that we're looking at a split in the timeline.
It's a bit disorienting, isn't it? Like, we're straddling two completely different versions of the future at the same time.
Completely. Yeah. It is a tale of two realities. Yeah. I mean, on one hand, I'm reading Tekken Knight, the 2026 AI and Gaming Strategic Report by Majid, and the first half is just... it's terrifying sci-fi stuff.
Right.
Massive corporate sacrifices to AI gods, data centers moving to orbit, the total automation of the workforce. It just feels so cold and distant and inevitable.
And then you flip the page to the entertainment sector, and it's the complete opposite. Yeah. You have this incredibly grounded, almost rebellious victory for gamers who just want to hold a plastic disc in their hands.
Right. It's this massive juxtaposition. We're seeing the infrastructure of the world becoming invisible, omnipotent, and space-based.
Right.
While our leisure time is like frantically clawing back towards the tangible,
yes,
the physical, the real.
It's a fascinating dynamic. You have this agentic era reshaping how we work, pushing everything into the cloud. I mean, literally into the clouds, while our culture pushes back. It's demanding ownership and nostalgia.
So that's our mission today. We are going to connect these dots. We're not just reading the news. We're mapping the strategy behind it. We need to understand why the cloud is moving to space, why Oracle is gutting its workforce, and why, in 2026, Rockstar Games is printing paper manuals again.
And the roadmap is pretty intense. We have to start with the heavy-hitting news in the enterprise world, the Oracle massacre. Then we're going
to
look up
to Elon Musk's orbital brain proposal.
Right.
Which I have to say, that sounds like something a Bond villain would pitch to the UN.
It usually does with Elon. Then we'll pivot to the fun stuff, how Sony and Capcom are changing game development with God of War and Resident Evil.
And finally, the battle for physical media with GTA VI and the Nintendo Switch 2. Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with Oracle. I mean, Oracle has been the boring, reliable database company for as long as I've been alive. Mm. They are the plumbing of the internet.
Yeah.
But this report, this isn't plumbing. This is an earthquake.
It is historic. Majid calls it the Oracle massacre. And frankly, that's not hyperbole. The headline number is just staggering.
Sure.
30,000 employees laid off worldwide.
30,000.
Yeah.
That is the population of a decent sized town. And looking at the breakdown here, this isn't the usual trimming the fat we see in tech.
No.
This isn't HR or marketing getting cut.
No. And that's the critical signal. These cuts are slicing right through the legacy engineering layers. We are talking about database administrators, cloud maintenance teams, the people who manually optimize SQL queries.
The people who kept the lights on.
For the last 20 years, yeah. The people who built the company.
So the people who built the databases are being fired.
Essentially, yes. Because Oracle is pivoting hard. They're transforming from a software giant into what the report calls the primary forge for OpenAI's cloud infrastructure.
And they're using a $50 billion war chest to do it.
A war chest funded by those massive payroll cuts. They're dumping it all directly into next-generation AI cloud clusters.
There was a leaked quote in the executive briefing from Larry Ellison. I have it highlighted here because it gave me chills. He said, "The era of human-managed databases is over. AI agents are faster, cheaper, and never sleep."
That is the defining quote of the year so far. AI agents never sleep.
It's brutal, but from a pure business perspective, I guess it's undeniable.
It's the brutal efficiency of the agentic era. See, we aren't talking about the AI of, say, 2023, where you had to prompt a chatbot to write a SQL query for you.
Right.
We were talking about autonomous agents. These systems can diagnose a server failure, rewrite the code to fix it, and deploy the patch across 10,000 nodes without a human ever touching a keyboard.
So the human engineer isn't just expensive, they were actually in the way.
Exactly. This is corporate workforce displacement. Ellison is betting the farm that human engineers are now the bottleneck. If you have an AI agent that operates at the speed of silicon, adding a human into the loop who needs coffee breaks and sleep and, you know, a salary, it just slows the whole system down.
The report mentions this is a first domino event.
It's an existential warning for the global IT workforce. The message is crystal clear. Integrate with AI agents or be replaced by them. And, you know, IBM and Microsoft are watching this very closely.
Oh, absolutely.
If Oracle's profitability surges because they replace 30,000 humans with agents, you will see this pattern repeated across the entire Fortune 500 within 6 months.
So the skill set is shifting. It's no longer about doing the work.
No.
It's about architecting the thing that does the work.
Precisely. You either manage the agents or you are the legacy layer they dissolve.
Okay, so on one side, we have humans being cleared out of the server rooms to make way for the agents.
Yep.
But the second part of this report suggests that the server rooms themselves are leaving. They're going to space.
To space. This is where the report gets into serious hard tech territory. Elon Musk has submitted a proposal to the FCC to launch 1 million Pico satellites.
1 million. I double-checked that number. That's a lot of metal in the sky.
It's a swarm. He wants to create orbital data centers.
But why? I mean, we have data centers here. They're big. They're on the ground. They work fine. Why do we need to put the cloud in orbit? Is this just Musk being Musk, or is there a real reason for it?
There's a real reason. The answer is physics.
Physics.
Specifically, the physics of latency.
Explain that, because I always thought fiber optics were the gold standard. Light travels at the speed of light, right?
Well, yes and no. Light travels at the speed of light in a vacuum. But when you shoot light through a glass fiber optic cable, it slows down.
It does.
By about 31%. It bounces around inside the core of the cable. It hits resistance.
Wait, so our ground-based internet is actually 30% slower than it could theoretically be?
Exactly. And that doesn't even count the route. Fiber cables on Earth have to go around mountains, under oceans, through repeaters. It's a jagged path from point A to point B.
And space is a straight line.
Space is a vacuum. Light travels at its maximum theoretical limit. So Musk is proposing a planet-wide neural network linked by the Starlink laser mesh. If an AI agent in New York needs to talk to a sensor in Tokyo, the signal goes up, shoots across the laser mesh in a straight line through the vacuum, and comes back down.
It bypasses the friction of the Earth.
Precisely. And for the AI agents we just talked about, the ones running autonomous power grids or high-frequency trading milliseconds matter, sub-millisecond latency is the holy grail.
So Musk is arguing that if you want AGI, true artificial general intelligence, you can't have it tethered to the slow glass cables on the ground.
He calls it an orbital substrate for artificial consciousness. It allows the AI to be present everywhere simultaneously, processing data from the sky, bypassing all those terrestrial limits.
That is such a heavy concept, an orbital substrate. It sounds like the planet is growing a second brain.
It really does. And of course, this kicks off what the report calls the orbital cloud war. You've got SpaceX, Amazon's Project Kuiper, and state-backed entities in Asia all rushing to control this layer.
Because whoever controls orbital compute controls intelligence on the ground.
Exactly.
It's fascinating because it feels like the infrastructure of the internet is leaving the planet just as it's becoming more intelligent. It's becoming this invisible, omnipotent layer above all of us.
Which is a poetic, if slightly terrifying, way to put it.
So while the tech giants are fighting over orbital real estate and firing humans, let's talk about something we actually enjoy. Video games.
Right.
Because the report shifts gears here to how this pressure is affecting game development, and the connection seems to be about time.
Time and resources. The report highlights a crisis in the industry. AAA development cycles are now six-year marathons.
Which is just unsustainable. If you release a game in 2020, you aren't putting out a sequel until 2026. Your audience moves on. The tech completely changes.
Exactly. Studios can't just go dark for 6 years anymore, so they need a new strategy. And this is where we get the leaks about Sony and God of War.
God of War. Saros. Now, when I saw God of War, I immediately thought, okay, another massive open world, over-the-shoulder epic. But that's not what this is.
No, and that's the brilliance of the strategy. The leak says this is a high-fidelity 2.5D Metroidvania.
A side-scrolling Kratos.
Yep. Think about the old school games, but with 2026 graphics, it's set during the Lost Years.
That's the period between him destroying Olympus and showing up in the Norse woods, right?
Correct. That dark wandering period. The aesthetic is described as stylized ancient pottery visuals.
Oh, like those black figure Greek vases coming to life.
Exactly.
That sounds incredible. But strategy-wise, this is what you call a gap filler.
Right. It's the gap filler strategy. Sony realizes they can't make a 50-hour open world game every 2 years, but they can make a highly polished, smaller scope, 2.5D game using existing assets and a smaller team.
It makes so much sense. You keep the IP alive, you give the fans something premium, but you don't risk a $300 million budget. It's just efficient.
It's Kratos in a more agile form. It honors the hack and slash roots of the franchise, but fits the modern market necessity.
And speaking of market necessity and reimagining old heroes, we have to talk about Resident Evil.
Yes.
Capcom leaks are basically a tradition at this point.
Capcom has a historic inability to plug leaks. It's almost charming.
So Resident Evil, Requiem. We're getting a demo inside the mist on February 12th. What do we know?
The protagonist is Leon S. Kennedy. But here is the twist. He's 50 years old.
50-year-old Leon. So he's slower, grittier.
He's a veteran. He's seen too much. The setting is a desolate archipelago in Southeast Asia. But the real story here is the tech. The RE Engine 2026.
The report mentions dynamic photogrammetry. Now, you know, photogrammetry is when they scan real rocks and trees to make the game look real. But what makes it dynamic?
Well, usually photogrammetry is static. You scan a rock, it stays a rock. Dynamic implies that these photoreal assets interact with the world, the lighting, the physics. The report claims the environment is indistinguishable from reality.
And they're using that realism to scare the living daylights out of us with this mist mechanic.
This is where it gets psychological. The mist isn't just a weather effect, it actually dissolves the environment.
That sounds terrifying.
It's meant to cause physical psychological dread. When the mist rolls in, the walls start to rot, the geometry shifts. Because the graphics are so photoreal, your brain has a harder time distinguishing it from a real hallucination.
So they're returning to hardcore survival horror.
They are, moving away from the action movie style of the remakes and going back to making you scared to turn the corner.
I love that. And it creates this interesting parallel. We have SpaceX building a simulation in the sky to run the world, and Capcom building a simulation on your screen that is becoming indistinguishable from reality.
Which leads us perfectly to the final battleground, the battle for the physical object.
Yes.
Because as much as the cloud is taking over, there is a rebellion happening.
The physical media victory. This is my favorite part of the report. In a world where Ubisoft and others have been saying, get comfortable not owning games, Rockstar Games has planted a flag.
They really have. GTA DI is confirmed for a full physical release.
Yeah.
And not just a disc in a box, multiple discs. High-resolution printed maps, a developer's manual.
A manual. I miss manuals, the smell of a fresh instruction booklet.
It's a sensory experience. But the report points out, this isn't just nostalgia. It's a technical necessity.
Because the game is huge, right?
Over 200 gigabytes. In 2026, even with good internet, that is a download nightmare for a huge chunk of the global population. Bandwidth caps are still a thing. If Rockstar wants to sell this to everyone, they can't rely on digital downloads alone.
But there's also the preservation angle, right? The owner's rights.
Absolutely. The report calls it a win for owner's rights. If you have the discs, you have the game. You aren't dependent on a subscription service. You aren't worried about a license expiring in 10 years. You own the code. It's a trophy. I love this line from the report. If you value the weight of a game box in your hands, Rockstar has just handed you the ultimate trophy.
And it puts pressure on hardware manufacturers, too. If the biggest game in history comes on discs, your console better have a disc drive. It stops that digital-only trend in its tracks.
Speaking of hardware, we have one last bombshell. The Nintendo Switch 2 and the impossible port.
Elden Ring.
Elden Ring on a Nintendo handheld. Native, not cloud streaming.
This is the moment portable gaming changes. The leak confirms a native port running on the Switch 2.
How? I mean, the Steam Deck struggles with Elden Ring sometimes. It just drains the battery in an hour.
Well, the secret sauce is the custom NVIDIA chipset and DLSS 4.0.
We should probably unpack DLSS for the listener. Deep learning supersampling.
Right. In simple terms, it's AI upscaling. But version 4.0 is apparently magic. It lets the Switch 2 render the game internally at a much lower resolution, maybe 540p, maybe even 480p.
Which saves the battery.
Massive amounts. The GPU barely has to break a sweat. But then the AI chip, which is very efficient, takes that blurry image and hallucinates the extra pixels to reconstruct a crisp, stable 1080p image.
So the AI just fills in the gaps.
Exactly. It's using machine learning to fake high resolution. The report says this renders the Steam Deck and other PC handhelds obsolete in terms of the optimization to battery ratio. Nintendo has bridged the power gap not with raw horsepower, but with smart AI.
It's incredible. We started this with AI taking jobs at Oracle, and now we end with AI via DLSS, making it possible to play Elden Ring on the bus for 5 hours straight.
It shows the duality of the technology. It displaces, but it also enables it's a tool that can either clear out a server room or put a massive open world in your pocket.
So let's bring this all together. What is the big picture here for 2026?
Well, look at the arc we just traced. We have the Oracle massacre and SpaceX's orbital brain showing us a world where the heavy lifting of civilization is moving away from humans and, well, away from the Earth itself. It's becoming automated, orbital, invisible.
The agentic era.
Right. But then look at the reaction in the entertainment sector. We are seeing a demand for the tangible. Mm. We want GTA ZI on a disc. We want Elden Ring in our hands on a dedicated device. We want these gap filler games that remind us of the old days.
It's like a tug of war.
Yeah.
The more high tech and distant the infrastructure becomes, the more we crave physical owned experiences in our personal lives.
Precisely. We are accepting the AI grid for efficiency. We want our databases to be fast and our cities to run smoothly, but we are rejecting it for our culture. We don't want to stream our favorite game from a satellite. We want to own it.
That's a really powerful thought. We're outsourcing our work to the sky, but keeping our play in our pockets.
And here's a provocative thought to leave you with.
Let's hear it.
We talked about Musk building an orbital substrate for artificial consciousness, a sensor network that essentially wraps the planet in a digital brain. And we talked about Capcom using photogrammetry to create environments indistinguishable from reality.
Right.
As those two lines converge, are we approaching a point where the simulation running in the sky, that massive neural network processing global data in real time, is actually more real, more comprehensive than the limited view of the world we see through our screens?
Or even with our own eyes.
Right. Is it possible the AI might know the objective reality of the world better than the humans living on it?
Ooh.
If it has sensors everywhere and processes at light speed, it might just be the only thing that sees the whole picture. We might be the ones living in the fog.
That is terrifying and amazing. I'm going to need to sit with that one.
It gives you something to think about while you're waiting for that 200 gigabyte GTA Vizzy install.
Absolutely. Well, that is a wrap for today's deep dive. We've gone from the server rooms of Oracle to the vacuum of space and back down to a plastic disk in your living room.
Quite the journey.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep your eyes on the stars, but keep your hands on your controller. We'll see you next time.